Hi, this is Cass. Welcome to the Curio Podcast, where two old friends hash out current events, politics, and whatever strikes our fancy. Visit us on Twitter at Podcast Curio. Join our Facebook page. Check out our website, curiopodcast.org. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.
I'm staring down at my palms. The lines I can't understand. You're hanging over the edge.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So who is that by?
Shy Lin.
False teachers.
And the S's are money signs.
Dollar signs,
yeah.
So that's a song about calling out the prosperity preachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ones who need what's it called? Private planes and shit?
Right. And give away, you know, expensive cars as gifts and live in giant houses and
so godly of them.
Oh, man.
Hi, Kimmy.
Hi, Cass. How are you feeling?
I'm much better.
I'm so glad.
I will not hack a lung out tonight. That's... You guys, I had to edit off 2 or 3 days later because I was very sick. At least half the show.
Because you were coughing.
Because I was coughing through the whole thing.
You were...
And was stubborn about it.
I'm fine. The cough is going to leave soon.
It did not, and I needed antibiotics, but I'm much better now.
That's good.
I have cramps today because I think that, Kim, I have a satanic womb.
Oh.
Have you heard of these?
Yeah.
What about you? Is your womb satanic?
Not now. It used to be.
Oh.
But yeah, it was, the devil was purged from my womb.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
So guess what we're talking about tonight, guys?
Satanic pregnancies.
I even made some devil horns for Yudi Patootie. I'll post a picture you guys can see. She's an actual satanic womb. Well, not actual. She's made of felt, but...
She's playing along. She's cosplaying.
She's cosplaying Paula White's... Not prophecy. What's the word I'm looking for?
I didn't even...
You didn't watch the clip?
I didn't watch the clip.
You learned all about her and didn't watch that clip?
All I needed to see was the headline. I couldn't... When the first time I saw it, I was just like, you can't even be serious. This can't be real. You know what I mean? The lines between parody and reality have blurred so horribly in the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. I kind of shut it down and walked away, and then you said, "Hey, let's talk about satanic pregnancies."
And so I made you do all the research on her while I did research on separation of church and state and another idea, which is a fear of freedom, which ties in to all of this. But
a fear
first,
of freedom.
Tell us what you learned about Ms. White. First of all, how many times has she been married? Because that's important.
Oh, she's been married 3 times.
Oh, cool.
Yes, she's on her 3rd marriage to, what's his name from Journey?
What? A dude from Journey is married to this woman?
Yes.
The lead singer guy?
No. Oh. He's, I can't remember what instrument he plays. Kane. What's his name? Kane.
Oh, I don't know.
We'll get there. I wrote it down.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 times. She got married young and then was, when she turned 18, God came to her and told her that she had to, you know, preach the word of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And so she joined a church and while she was married and had a young child son, she met her 2nd husband. Who was also married and had 3 kids.
Oh, okay.
So they divorced their spouses, and then they got married. And then they started another church. I wrote it all down. There's a lot.
She's disco discombobulated.
I am. I'm really tired. Not sure why. Yeah, she's a fascinating person.
Yep.
Yeah. And while researching her, it occurred to me just abuse. Like
she was abused or she abuses people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She's an American pastor, author, and televangelist.
Yay.
Yay for the televangelists. She is a big fan of the prosperity theology, but she denies it.
Mm-hmm.
And the prosperity theology or gospel is that, you know, you need to give me your money and you will become richer.
Right.
Basically.
Meanwhile, she's the only one getting richer.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And typically these people prey on folks who are desperate. Desperate because they're in dire straits. They don't have a lot of money to give.
Right.
And she asks for specific amounts of money. Like at one point it was $1,144.
Wow.
The Lord had asked her, told her to give, to ask people for. Whatever. Okay. For 5 years, between 2014 and 2019, Paula was the senior pastor at the New Destiny Christian Center in Apopka, Florida, a non-denominational megachurch.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, she was the co-pastor of, get this, Without Walls International Church.
What?
In Tampa.
Does Trump know this?
I read that 3 times laughing, and I underlined it. Yes, it was called Without Walls International Church. I thought that was friggin' hilarious. She delivered the invocation at Donald Trump's inauguration.
Right.
She's the first woman to have ever done that.
Well, that's important.
That is important.
And if you care about that kind of stuff.
And I remember at the time that was noted by the press.
Right.
That she was the first woman to do it. And I guess that was a... You know, it was a mark in Trump's favor for women.
Back before we realized just how bad he would be, we were like, oh, well, maybe a little bit will be okay.
Maybe, yeah. Some folks were really holding out mm-hmm. there for a couple days
right.
until it all started to fall apart. In 2019, he appointed White as the special advisor to the Faith and Opportunity Initiative at the Office of Public Liaison. So I didn't even know that this position existed.
I didn't either.
Special Advisor to the Faith and Opportunity Initiative.
Huh.
So.
Was this something that Jeff Sessions installed before he left?
I don't know. I didn't look into that.
It'd be interesting to know if it's always been there.
Yeah.
And we just weren't paying attention.
But yeah, I don't understand because church and state are supposed to be separate.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I kind of feel like he made it up for her. That's.
Well, the rumor is that she's his side piece.
What?
Well, it's just a rumor.
Hmm. As a child, she lived in Mississippi and Tennessee. Her mother left her father when she was 5.
Oh.
I don't know if her dad was abusive, but her mother left and took her and her brother away from her dad. They owned a small shop together. Then the three of them fell into poverty.
Mm-hmm.
The dad subsequently committed suicide.
Oh my God.
And the mother became an alcoholic. While the mother was working, Paula claims, and this is off of Wikipedia, and I thought the wording was really interesting here. They said Paula claims to have been physically and sexually abused between the ages of 6 and 13 by her caregivers. So up until that point, all of the information that they were sharing was pretty,
like, it seemed fact-based?
Yeah, it seemed fact-based. It was being relayed as facts. And then this came up, and I'm like, And I didn't really know how to feel about that. Like, right. Are you calling her a liar? Or is there no evidence of this?
Right.
You know, so anyway, so she claims to have been abused. And during that time, she also suffered from bulimia.
Oh, wow.
When she was 18, she had a vision from God telling her, you got to spread the gospel. And then she started marrying people all over the place. Her second husband was Randy White, and she met him at the church she was attending. They started the South Tampa Christian Center together. At the time when it was started, the church had 5 members.
Yeah.
And so they were broke. They were poor, and they relied on government assistance mm-hmm. during that time. But by 2006, the church had thousands of attendees.
Wow.
It went big, fast.
And she was the preacher of the church, or they both were?
Both of them.
Okay.
They were both the heads of the church. She started her televangelism career in 2001. And by 2006, the show Paula White Today was on 9 networks, including CMT, Country Music Channel,
uh-huh.
BET, Black Entertainment Channel, and TBN. And I can't remember what that one, TBN.
Anyway. I don't know.
And she had a celebrity following. So Michael Jackson called her at one point to come out to the ranch.
Oh, my God.
So she went and visited him when he was in the midst of the whole molestation scandal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tyra Banks, Deion Sanders.
Wow.
She had some big players. And, yeah, and Jonathan Cain, the keyboardist from Journey.
Jonathan Cain, okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's who she's married to now.
I mean, for now, right?
For now.
It's weird that I'd never heard of her before she started cozying up to Trump.
Well, you're not really in the televangelism
I'm not hooked into that, no.
Yeah. White and her former husband, and I'm reading straight off of the gospelcoalition.org website right now.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully I won't screw that up. White and her former husband, Randy, were part of 2 congressional investigations, one in 2004 and another in 2007, of Prosperity Gospel Ministries. The investigations uncovered no chargeable tax offenses, but they raised questions about her ministry's finances. For example, between 2004 and 2007, the church paid a total of $2,755 million in compensation to their relatives, including Paula's son and Randy's 2 children, father and sister. Randy and Paula also reportedly received $5 million a year in compensation from their church and purchased a $3.5 million condo in Trump Tower in New York City.
No.
According to Senate documents. White is said to be President Trump's spiritual advisor and personal pastor. Personal pastor.
Who needs a personal pastor?
Right. She says she's directly shared the gospel with him, but believes he's been a Christian since childhood. White delivered the invocation at Trump's inauguration and claims to be the covenor and de facto head of the president's evangelical advisory board. I didn't even know there was one.
If there is one.
The group of about 35 evangelical pastors includes the 4 men who endorsed her latest book, Jerry Falwell Jr., Franklin Graham,
no.
Jack Graham, and Robert Jeffress. Yeah, so she's a piece of work, and she just recently said that she wanted all of the satanic pregnancies to miscarry.
They were pregnancies from the from satanic wombs, I think. We'll pull up the clip and play it.
Okay. I researched satanic pregnancies too, which is what the fuck?
It was basic when you sent me that thing. It was basically like the plot to the movie Rosemary.
Was
that the name of it?
Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby.
Or, yeah.
Mia Farrow.
What's the other one? Michelle Remembers, that book. Michelle Remembers.
I don't know that.
So satanic cults, you know, sex and pregnancy and all childbirth and all of that stuff is not normal to them. And women are abused. They become pregnant. They're abused further. And they're somehow indoctrinating this fetus to become evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sick, sick, sick stuff. And to think that somebody who claims to be a Christian is actually buying into this and basically participating in it, if you ask me.
Well, I mean,
didn't know that existed until this crazy woman said it. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that. You know what I mean?
It might.
Eh.
You know, people like that, they like to use fear to promote their thing that they're promoting. So, I mean, those are just buzzwords that she was using, right? Miscarry, Satan, whatever. Those are just buzzwords that Christians will use to scare people. But, yeah, she's ridiculous.
She's not well.
She's not. She sounds delusional.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll play the clip and then talk about the separation of church and state. So please waste my time. I'll gladly sit here. The night goes by. Locked outside of the door. Yep. She said that shit.
Is that the music from,
That wasn't
The Exorcist?
It's a video that somebody posted. See if I can find the raw video.
It sounded, I'm just teasing, it sounded like The Exorcist music. Oh my God. So when I was really little, I went to church with my mom. She went sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being very young, like my feet did not touch the floor.
Right.
And telling her at church, I don't want to believe in the devil.
Oh, wow.
And she said, and I could tell at that young age that she was like,
what do I say?
What do I say? And she said, well, you have to believe in the devil. You have to believe in the devil if you believe in God. And that was the moment where I said, nope.
That was the crossroads.
That was the crossroads. I was like, no.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So let me tell you about this theory called the fear of freedom.
Okay, yes. I didn't hear about this.
It caught my attention. I was researching things about separation of church and state, and I just happened upon this video from... I forgot what his name is. He's a famous atheist. Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Becky loves him.
Yeah, he was talking about this idea in relation to religion, but it also works for government,
mm-hmm.
for, you know, theocracies and stuff. So here's some information from the guy who originally thought of it as a neurosis. His name was Eric Fromm. It's from like 1945 or something.
Wait, so this is a psychological disorder or anomaly?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's a personality trait. His book was called Mechanisms of Escape from Freedom.
Wow.
So as an escape from unbearable loneliness, an individual will give up freedom to fuse oneself with something outside, external to themselves, to acquire the strength which the individual lacks. So someone who feels insignificant or powerless or inferior will look to something like religion or a strong leader or a cult to A, not feel lonely, and to B, feel stronger than they feel. So there are two sides to this coin. So wherein people feel this loneliness, this apartness, they'll either give up their freedom to be a part of something else, or the other side of the coin is that they'll become a person who wants to control others and inflict suffering on others. So if you're thinking about it in a theocracy kind of situation, the people leading the theocracy and the people following, or the people leading a megachurch and the people following, all have this, according to this guy, this fear of freedom, this fear of being alone, to the point where they will give up things that they believe in. They will do things that somebody else told them to do. They will inflict suffering on others so that they don't feel lonely.
It's how they connect
without admitting the loneliness or admitting the weakness. So
wow.
He says that in surrendering of self you lose integrity as an individual, and you also renounce your freedom. But they gain the strength and power and security against doubt. So if we all together believe in a God that's controlling everything, and we all together don't have to be responsible for our actions,
right,
then I'm not alone and I don't have to doubt my existence in this world.
Wow.
Right. So, and again, when I was talking about the other side of the coin, the lust for power is not always rooted in strength, but in weakness, according to this guy. So people like Trump or dictators, Duterte or whoever. I mean, and we all know this, but nobody talks about it. They're not really strong people. I mean, we all know that Trump is a narcissistic baby. He can't handle anything. He has the thinnest skin on earth.
He's never had to struggle or suffer and then reap the benefit of that struggle and suffering,
right,
which is, I can do this, which
right,
is strength.
Right.
So if you never, how do you get, yeah, I get it.
Right. So I think I mentioned it before. So the things that people look at for external satisfaction are institutions like cults and nations, so people who are extremely patriotic and USA, USA, God, religion, and compulsions is another one.
Huh.
So I imagine people with OCD, I don't know what he meant by compulsions, but that was interesting to me when he was talking about giving up your individuality, because I was researching the separation of church and state. And I have a sort of personal investment in that my ancestor was the first dude in America who came up with that idea written in a book.
Wow.
Roger Williams, he had come from England to Massachusetts Bay Colony. He lived in Salem. He got kicked out of Salem because his views were too radical. He believed that the state should stay out of religion, that religion should stay a pure thing in and of itself. It should have a wall around it.
Huh.
He convinced the other members of the Massachusetts Bay Colony that they shouldn't be converting the native people the indigenous people to Christianity because that's not what they really wanted. They were being pressured into it, and God didn't want that. God wanted right. their belief to be pure. So he convinced them to stop that. Eventually, his beliefs were so sort of hippy-dippy and we need to love one another and basically saying religious leaders should not also be running the community. They right. kicked him out. And what they were going to do was deport him back to England. And he heard word.
Oh, my gosh.
And basically, 2 days before they were going to deport him secretly, he left out into the woods and took off. And he wandered in the woods in the New England winter till eventually he was almost dead. The native tribe there found him and took care of him for months. He learned their language. He actually wrote a book, a translation book between English and this language.
Wow.
And he was sort of an agent between this native tribe and the other white people around. He ended up living near them and bought the island, or not the island, but bought the area of Rhode Island from them.
Oh, wow.
And then convinced the king, he went back to England and convinced the king of England to give him a charter to be a colony. So he started the state of Rhode Island, the city of Providence, based on this idea wow. of we should be free to practice our religion and our love for God without the state interfering. And we as a religion are not going to run the state. And he wrote about this idea, calling it something about a hedge between the state and the church. But one of the main things that people say about Roger Williams was that the reason he got kicked out of Massachusetts Bay Colony and the reason why he could live with the native people and learn the language and start the colony of Rhode Island was that he was very individualistic. So he was confident in his own ideas, in his own morality, in his mm-hmm. in his own privateness with his God. He didn't need the Massachusetts Bay Colony telling him what to do.
Right.
He didn't need the King of England telling him what to do.
He had a very clear vision of his own beliefs.
Right.
And his own morality and ethics, right. like you said.
So it was based on these things that Roger Williams thought of and wrote about. And basically, he started the Baptist religion in the United States. He was the first dude who was like, you should come because you want to. Because right. you believe in God, mm-hmm. we'll baptize you.
When you're ready, to accept it. And yeah.
So he's like my 15 times great grandfather.
Wow.
On my maternal line, it goes up 13 generations to his granddaughter is my mother's 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 mother.
Oh, my gosh.
It goes up like that, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing that you have all of that information, that it hasn't been lost or...
To find it. It was lost. Nobody knew.
Well, but, you know, back then records were, you know, houses burned down, Bibles got lost.
I know, but he was the founder of Rhode Island, so...
Yeah.
So let's talk about what it means to have a church separation between church and state and why this idea of having a religious liaison to President Trump, who's the most unreligious person ever, is maybe a bad idea.
Well, it's all about just courting the evangelical base.
Right. And they shouldn't have anything to do with government, and the government shouldn't have anything to do with what they believe in.
I absolutely agree.
So what it means in our country, and as far as I know, we're the only country in the world that has it written into our constitution that there is a separation between church and state. But I'll get to that in a minute. What it means is that the government can't give financial aid for religious instruction in, you know, religious schools.
And that's falling apart right now.
Right. Betsy DeVos is trying to take that away.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens cannot be coerced to submit to religious proselytization or to take part in worship. They can't be ordered to do that. We do not have prayer in schools. They are not allowed to distribute Bibles or other religious texts, not that they would, but they would distribute Bibles if they could. No mandatory Bible study, and schools cannot teach creationism. In addition, we cannot have religious displays on government property, like the recent, you know, states that were trying to put up the Ten Commandments in front of the courthouses and things like that. And right. It had to be taken up to whatever court for them to take those things away, because our Constitution says that there's a separation between church and state. Apparently, prayer breakfasts sponsored by the government are not allowed.
I don't understand that. I mean, I get it. I understand why they do it, but I don't understand why it's okay.
Why it's okay.
I don't get that at all.
There are not supposed to be any religious tests to hold office. So someone doesn't have to be a Christian to be president, but lo and behold, every one of them has been. And
except for Kennedy.
Kennedy was a Christian.
Well, he was a Catholic.
It's the same thing.
But it was, don't you remember? It was, well, we weren't there, but it was a problem.
No, I remember hearing about it. It was a problem.
Because he was
But he was still a Christian.
He, yes, he fell into that category. You should have seen the look she gave me right now.
And in addition, religious leaders are not to influence or make laws or policy. That's the main thing. Like, the reason Roger Williams wanted the separation mostly was that he didn't want the government messing around with religion. He thought it should be something, a pure expression of faith that had nothing to do with setting laws or precedent or anything like that. But we also don't want people of faith, like Paula White maybe, to influence our government, to influence our laws and the way our schools run. We don't want that. That's very, very dangerous. So, I wrote down 7 theocracies today that are alive and well. 7 of them are, or 6 of them are Islamic states, and one of them was a Christian state. So the 7 that I have, the 6 that are Islamic states are Afghanistan, Iran, Mauritania?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
Africa?
The Mauritius, yeah, okay.
Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Yemen, and the one Christian example was Vatican City.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I mean, they're their own little
They're their own little thing, yeah.
In the middle of Italy, which is weird.
Yeah. And I'm pretty, I thought that Spain was a Catholic country, but I don't think they're a theocracy. They're a monarchy, right? They've got a king and prime minister and stuff.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Anyway, it was interesting to think about my ancestor and what he would have thought about Paula White calling for satanic pregnancies to be aborted, being the main religious advisor to our president, who's an idiot and listens to everyone right. and everything. And it made me a little sick.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to read the First Amendment so that people can remember what it says, because that's where it's written down.
The first one.
The very first one. The most important. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Congress. I stopped knowing how to read right there.
You caught my germ.
I did. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So when I look at this, I see every single one being threatened by the Trump administration. Every single
yes.
thing in
yeah.
the First Amendment being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Paula White.
It occurred to me when I was, lots of things occurred to me when I was looking into this and Paula White and, you know, all the news that's been coming out lately, all the wacky stuff that's been going on, that the government has effectively weaponized religion in
yes.
our country.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, saying that Muslims are bad and they're, you know, they're all terrorists, to manipulating the Christian population
yep.
severely.
Mm-hmm.
and unabashedly. Yep. I mean, how can... I don't understand.
Well, you see where this fear of freedom theory comes into play. Right. People that are so patriotic and apparently, supposedly Christian, those two things are woven together right now. And that's typical in a theocracy. Mm-hmm. So it's scary to watch, knowing how it should be or how the framers wanted it. I don't know that it's ever been exactly the way the framers wanted it. They had high ideals, but we're always striving towards it.
Right. They gave us something to work toward, and it will be a never-ending battle.
Right. But I feel like we should be progressing. And I know that this happens in cycles. There's progression and then regression. I get it.
Right.
But
this is a big regression right now.
This is huge.
And it happened fast.
That's so fast.
That's the really scary part, is it happened fast. It wasn't, you know, over years and years and years. It was in 3 years. We went from, in my mind,
right,
a society that was opening up and becoming more global and more accepting and more better.
More better.
To now we live in this fear state. Fear.
Right.
It's all about fear.
Which is exactly where they want you. If you're afraid, you're going to believe anything, even if you don't believe it. My example being Christians thinking that Trump is a good person, mainly because they think he's going to get rid of abortion. And that must make him a good person. So they can overlook all the shitty things he's done, the multiple marriages, the Adderall, all of it, because
God damn this, God damn that all the time. The
grabbing women by pussies, because they think that he's been sent by God and God's going to do. But this is all childish thinking. This is childish thinking.
It is.
It's not based in fact and reality. It's delusional.
No, it's not. And the powers that be, Trump and his administration, are playing these people just blatantly.
Right.
It's mind-blowing how obvious it is that they're just playing to this base.
Mm-hmm.
They're manipulating them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary. It's scary to know that people can be that easily swayed, that they will so quickly put aside their own ideals, their own morals and ethics, and just wipe them off the table and accept whatever who's in charge throws at them and tells them.
Right.
You know, it goes back to that whole hierarchical way of thinking, you know, that somebody is the boss of me, that somebody's in charge of me, that there's a God who is kind and generous and loves me more than anybody else ever.
I'm not alone.
Exactly what you were saying. Like, that whole idea is just, it doesn't make sense to me.
So another part of the Christopher Hutchins, I don't know what his name is, Hutchins.
Beck's listening. She's yelling at her phone right now.
Sorry. He was talking about how he has debated several religious leaders throughout the world, imams and rabbis and preachers and priests. You know, he's debated friendly debates with them and has asked several of them this one question. Can you name a time when an atheist did something so evil that it caught your attention?
Mm-hmm.
And alternately, can you name a time when someone who was religious did something evil and it caught your attention? And he said, and everybody in the room started chuckling, and he said, nobody has a problem trying to think of a time when religion caused people to do bad things. Morality comes from your humanness. You already had that. You didn't need a religion to have morality. Mm-hmm. You already know what's wrong and what's right.
Right.
So I'm afraid of what's coming if he doesn't get removed. If he gets reelected, we are full blown on a roller coaster down a hill into a theocratic state, and I don't know what we can do about that.
I don't either.
And it speaks to the ill of our society that we are so unconnected that we will look to someone like him for leadership.
It also occurred to me, you know, victims of abuse sometimes will idolize their abusers.
Right.
And I thought, he is abusive. I mean, he's a bad man.
Is that your scientific?
But it occurred to me, I thought, it's almost like his followers are his victims, and they idolize him, and they mimic him. And somehow, by mimicking the abuse, it makes it okay. And right. that, therefore, they are okay. And it's just this really wacky, weird cycle. And
well, he has these actual thoughts. He's told people before, you have to mistreat your woman.
Oh my God, did he really say
yes.
that?
Yes. Like, be mean to her and then she'll be nicer to you.
Oh, God.
Right. So he has these thoughts.
That's sadistic.
Right, which the book that I was telling you about, The Freedom of Fear or Fear of Freedom, he talks about this process of letting go of your individualness to follow something else is basically an unkindness to yourself. And he called it sadistic.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you allow yourself to be abused and manipulated, then yeah, I guess it is sadistic.
So maybe there's always going to be a certain percentage of society that will follow an autocrat into the depths, no matter what.
I think there will be. I think that some folks are just hardwired that way. That's how they are in the world. It feels,
well, that's unfortunate.
It feels like there are two camps, and we keep talking about all the division in our country and how divided we are, blah, 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 blah. But it feels very concrete lately.
Yes.
That there are folks who say, we are all connected. We live in a global society. We need to take care of each other and our planet.
And the planet. Yeah.
And our resources. And that's how we're going to survive. And then there are the folks who say, fuck you all. It's whoever's on top is the winner. Whoever's got the most money. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different way of thinking.
But it's a weakness.
It is a weakness. It absolutely is. And that's been driven home over and over and over again throughout history. That, you know, when people are together, when they're taking care of each other and their environment, they are stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It works out that way in a healthy economy. You have to have well-distributed wealth for the across the board for the whole society to benefit and thrive.
Right.
When all that wealth gets shoved to one end of the spectrum, to the top 1%,
everything topples.
It topples.
Yeah.
Because no, it's complicated, but it doesn't work, and it's been proven over and over and over again that it
doesn't
work.
You should be Trump's financial advisor.
Right. Oh my God.
Do you think he even has one? Doug's behind the control board shaking his head.
Going,
no.
Nope.
So.
Nope.
Before we do final thoughts, I wanted to tell everyone about our field trip we're taking.
Oh, yes.
So one of us was, or both of us were maybe feeling hopeless and.
Hopeless?
And.
Oh, God.
I don't remember which one of us said it, but like, if he doesn't get removed from office, we should go to DC. I think I said it. And you were like, okay. And then you sent me back, like, I'm free anytime after this day. And so then I started looking at flights and hostels, and you started looking at museum passes because that's the kind of people we are. And then I was like, we should just go one way or the other. So we are going to Washington, D.C.
Yay!
To A, go to museums, and B, protest Trump. I figured we could go to the Kremlin Annex in front of the White House and party with those guys.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That'd be fun.
We will be there over weekend, so I'm hoping that maybe that weekend there will be some sort of demonstration that we can participate in.
It occurred to me, I thought, gosh, I wonder what's going to be happening by then.
Right.
Because
all hell could break loose, or it could just be easy peasy.
So fast right now.
Every
I
day.
I can't even keep track of it. the other day I was just like, no, I'm done. I'm not looking at the news. I'm not participating. I can't digest this because it's literally hour by hour, something else pops up. The whole thing with Israel today.
What happened with Israel today? I was doing ceramics all day. What happened?
Oh, that's another episode. We can talk about it off the air.
But, I'm all okay.
But yeah, he's unraveling and he's trying to make friends. Like, you know, some folks are saying when he bombed Iran, it was to appease Bolton.
What?
Yeah. So the White House got the manuscript for his book on the 30th.
Oh.
They bombed Iran on the 2nd.
Right.
And Bolton was a huge Iran hawk.
He
was like,
always.
Yeah, totally on that. And so some folks are saying maybe, you know, the administration was saying, hey, we're going to do this for you now. Shut up.
Don't tattle on us.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now this thing with Netanyahu, there's all kinds of wacky stuff going on. And he just admitted something about China and you know, we owe China. I don't know. Oh, God.
Well, John Kelly came out. Or was it John? Oh, no. Part of the Bolton manuscript is that Bolton went to Bill Barr and said, hey, I'm a little worried because Trump's doing personal favors for Turkey and China. And
that's
now everybody's
right.
Going, what personal favors? What?
For Turkey and China.
Right. Anyway, I was going to say what I really want to do besides the Smithsonian and go to the Kremlin Annex and all the other things we want to do. I want to go to Trump Hotel and flip it off and take a picture, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
It's like a dream of mine.
I did that when we were in Chicago. Like when
that's right.
Yeah, I was just, and I'd every time I'd walk by, I'd go, God damn that fucking building. I don't want to see that fucker's name. Just loud.
Well, there's one in Vegas, and the last time I went there, when I was driving home, I was like, I can't believe they haven't fucking taken his name off of that. I was pissed.
Right.
I was flipping it off from the car going 80 miles an hour. I can't take a picture. I'm going 80 miles an hour. But I was like, how could they leave his name up there?
It's his building.
I don't care.
But it's offensive, isn't it? Do you have a physical reaction?
Physical reaction.
I do.
I want to vomit on it.
I don't want to see that fucker's name.
I want to vomit on it.
Vomit on it.
All right. Final thoughts about Paula White and or Roger Williams and or the fear of freedom?
I don't want to be afraid of freedom. I'm going to resist.
I don't think you've ever been afraid of freedom. I like that about you.
I don't think I have been either.
Yeah. My final thought is like whatever we as middle-aged ladies, I'm assuming you all are middle-aged ladies listening to this, you could not be, but what I'm trying to say is to help the next generation not feel lonely and to feel connected and to be able to question authority, to stand up for what they believe in without being told to be quiet. I think it's really important that we get away from this institutionalized mindset that we're all in, because that breeds the kind of person that is going to be afraid to speak up and is going to be afraid to go out on their own and maybe do something that's not comfortable. Maybe we all need to be a little less comfortable and a little more connected with each other and the earth. That's what I'm saying. That's my final thought.
I think we're headed for some uncomfortable times. I think we need to be ready for some sacrifice and some discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know how to connect with people. I have a whole other dissertation about the Bible.
Uh-oh.
And how the Bible has talked about lots of things that seem to be happening right now and the weaponization of religion. But you can cut all that out because that doesn't really make sense.
Oh, so anyway, if you're in Washington, D.C., let us know. When are we going? The end of February.
March.
End of February, beginning of March.
Yeah.
So, you know, let us know if you're around. Maybe you could take us out for drinks or something.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Wouldn't it?
That'd be fun. But Yeah, don't try to kill us or anything.
Or don't try to have satanic babies with us.
Ew!
Ew! Bye, everybody.
Gross.
Don't you love it?
Curio Podcast is a Porch Swing production. Big thanks to all of our contributors and special guests. For more info, please visit Twitter at Podcast Curio, Curio Podcast on Facebook, and CurioPodcast.org. And remember, Curio Podcast loves you.
Yay!